Welcome back to Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast season 2, where we discuss and celebrate all things parenthood. From the ups and downs of breastfeeding, the unspoken fourth trimester of parenthood, planning for your next baby, and preparing as baby enters toddlerhood, we're here to journey with you.
Join us as we unpack the many facets of parenthood with our panel experts and Haygen moms as they share their own parenthood journey with us. Hello and welcome to Season 2 of Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. I'm Rebecca and here with me is my co-host Joyce.
Hi, I'm Joyce. I'm a mom of two very lively, very opinionated girls. They're aged 6 and 3. I'm a big fan of respectful parenting and positive discipline and I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you, Joyce. Today we will be talking about managing the terrific twos with positive discipline. And joining us today, we have a very special guest, and her name is Kim Dimaki. Kim is currently based in the UK, and she is a parent educator and a family coach. Hello, Kim. Thank you for joining us on our podcast today. To start, can you share more about yourself and your background and what made you enter parenting with positive discipline coaching?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me. I got into education when I was very young. I decided I wanted to be a classroom teacher. So I was trained to be a primary teacher. Mm-hmm. I did that for many years. Then I worked with teachers. Then I had my own children. And at that point, that's when I realized really the change agent are the parents. So I went back, got some more certifications, credentials, and became a certified parent, a family coach, and a parent educator. And that's where I began. And that was 18 years ago.
Wow.
My children are 21. I have twins, boy-girl twins. They're 21. And I've been using positive discipline with them since they were toddlers.
Fantastic. Yeah. I think you're definitely the expert in this. You know, you can share all your tips with us.
Twins too. That must be quite a challenge.
Yes. Yeah, it's challenging, but it's also rewarding as all parents. But it is true. Parenting is the hardest job on the face of this planet, isn't it?
I totally agree with you. I mean, we're both mothers, Joyce and myself.
Yeah.
And we were just having a conversation earlier. We're just saying that, seriously, you know, nobody prepared us for parenting. It's not a textbook thing.
No.
It's really... Yeah. I mean, you're just overwhelmed by this new role, and I guess, you know, you just have to kind of go with the flow,
yep.
Know the personality of your child,
mm-hmm.
Know your own personality
mm-hmm.
as well, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of self-reflection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as our children learn more about themselves and the world around them, they start to go through different stages, and Terrific Twos has been... used to describe the changes that parents often observe in two-year-old children, such as their rapid shifts in their moods and their behaviors. And basically for parents to realize that there's some level of difficulty, you know, managing and dealing with the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It's more commonly known, from what I understand, in child development literature as a terrible twos.
Yes.
Yes. But rather than taking the terrible mindset,
yeah.
We want to... go with a more positive approach. And so we changed the word from terrible to terrific so that we as parents and our children, we can sort of set ourselves for a healthy growth.
Mm.
So maybe I can, you know, ask you, Joyce,
yeah.
Since your younger child is now 3, how was terrible too.
I know, it's so ingrained in us.
Yes, I know, I need to like, sorry. How is the terrific two stage for you?
So it's very interesting that you brought that up because my second child started exhibiting signs of terrific twos when she just turned 3. So you would think that, oh, we sailed past the 2-year age and was like, okay, we got this, she's all right. But once she turned 3, there was a bit of like lots of boundary testing, lots of talking back, more sassy, a lot more attitude, which was really unexpected. So yeah, that was quite like a wake-up call for us, I suppose.
How about your older one then?
So my older one was very interesting. I was just sharing with Becky earlier. She was fine all the way until she turned 2. Literally, it was the day after her birthday. It was as though a switch just went up in her head. And then suddenly she became this different little monster. Like she started pushing. I did not know what was happening. And once she passed three, she suddenly became like more toned down. She became calm. She was able to express her feelings a little bit more. So that 1 year of two turning to three was really challenging for us as parents. Being our firstborn, we really did not know what to do. It took a lot of reading, a lot of self-reflecting to just kind of manage ourselves and our expectations a little bit better with regards to her development.
And at the same time, I believe, Joyce, you were expecting your number two as well, right?
Yes. So based on just my experience observing my first child, you know, they always say your first child is very precious because the kind of relationship she has with you would be very different from your other children because, you know, you have never done parenting before. And essentially, that is your first, for lack of a better word, experiment, right? And so when she was two, I was pregnant with our second born. She started school. Her safe space, which was her cot, where she was sleeping in, broke down, and we have to change to a toddler bed. So for a little person at 2 years old, all these things which are seemingly normal for an adult might actually be very overwhelming for her. But when I was a first-time parent, that didn't cross my mind at all. And I think for her, she was just having a really hard time. She was showing all sorts of, you know, negative behaviors, which was very terrific.
So Kim, what, you know, what exactly is the terrific twos, and why do our children actually display such shifts in their mood and behavior?
So we've kind of labeled it the terrific twos, but it is a much wider it's wider age span. So it can start at 15 months. And it can go until
as young
three.
As 15
yes,
months.
Yes, it can.
Right.
Yes. Okay. So really, it's a period of time, okay? And I think with my twins, we started seeing it at around 18 months. Oh. And we were like, oh, something's happening here. There's some changes going on. And then we would always try to make ourselves feel better and say, oh, they're accelerated.
It's the
twos, but ours are 18 months, right?
I like that choice of words.
They're gifted. They're accelerated. We were just trying to make light of a situation that wasn't so pleasant. But it can go well into threes. Yes. So it is a period of time that major developmental milestones are occurring. Okay. So it's a time of a lot of change for these little beings. And one of the big ones is that they realize that they now have some power and have some control in their little worlds, but they also realize they don't have a lot. And then they start wondering, where is my power? How do I get power? I'm going to try this. It's constant testing. I mean, and I've said this before, that their job is to test the limits, to test the boundaries, okay? I mean, if you have a three-year-old that hasn't gone through that yet, I don't know. It's either a miracle or something's not quite right. It is normal. It's normal for them to do that. So they just start experimenting. They realize they have some power, and they're going to find out exactly how. And so that's what that looks like. I mean, it's huge milestones. It's a period of time that that really can make a big difference.
And I suppose, Kim, you know, as a two-year-old, their vocabulary is also very limited. So I would say, I mean, well, would you agree then that because of their limited vocabulary, just ability to be able to express how they feel, but yet they're going through all these big emotions, and you know, like they want the independence, but yet, you know, they're not sure how to go about doing that. Does that all add to this whole thing about terrific twos?
I know. It's really hard to start saying terrific twos, isn't it? Of course. I mean, if we as adults are lacking in our vocabulary or our knowledge, I mean, It's very difficult. So for them, you can only imagine how hard it is. They are feeling a certain way, feeling jealous, feeling frustrated, feeling sad, but they don't have the vocabulary to express themselves. So that's kind of up to us as the parents to do a lot of modeling. We need to constantly be thinking that everything they see us doing, they're going to do. So when we're angry and frustrated, if we yell, that's what they're going to learn to do. If we throw the newspaper, that's what they're going to learn to do. If we swat them, that's what they're going to learn to do. So yes, they have limited knowledge and they're soaking stuff in. They're soaking it up so fast that we better be very careful as parents to watch what it is that we're communicating to them.
Absolutely. So, Kim, you know, I know you're big on, you know, parenting with positive discipline. So as parents, how do we cope with this stage, you know, using positive discipline?
It is so trying. I must say. It took every ounce of self-control sometimes.
Oh, no, it does. It takes a lot of self-control. And that's what parenting pushes us as parents to our limits, right? And it does make us better. I mean, it really does. I always say, like, I was given my daughter Riley to teach me patience.
Yes, I love like, the perspective.
Well, see, we do try to put a spin on things, right? Because she's very spirited, and so I'm like, this was my gift. My purpose is to learn patience, and she's been given to me to teach me this life lesson.
I need to take on that. I really do.
Yeah.
Such a different perspective.
Sometimes we have to dig deep, yes, right?
Yes. How it helps us parents to cope with children at this terrific two stage.
Well, one thing that I think needs to happen for parents is we need to have a shift and know that this stage, we'll call it terrific twos, 15 to three years, 15 months. If we know for sure it's going to happen, if we can expect it, then we are more apt to deal with it. If we don't know, if we haven't read, if we don't have friends with older children, if we're not aware, which many of us are not aware, we jump in, like you said, with no training, no education, no certification. We're doing our best. We're treading water. But if we don't know that this is going to happen, we respond to it very differently. Mm. We can take it personally. We can be angry. We can get resentful of the child. We're not equipped. But I think parents that are listening, if you can expect it, then you're able to deal with it head on. You will have so much more compassion for your children. Mm-hmm. Be prepared. Be prepared because it will happen, but you will have compassion. You will be looking for opportunities to kind of teach them through it. We have to teach our children self-regulation. They don't have it. They don't have those skills. In fact, adults, many
sometimes
adults.
Sometimes, yeah, we don't do.
Let's be honest here.
Yes.
There's a lot of adults that we are not accessing those skills. So we certainly can't expect the kids to. But in terms of positive discipline, what I love about it is that it's kind and firm, okay? Mm-hmm. It's kind and firm. It's firm out of respect to ourselves. We have our boundaries, we have our limits. We need to be clear on that with our children, but it's also kind out of respect for them. We don't have to do it so top down. We don't have to be punitive about it. We don't have to have angry tone of voice. It's very matter of fact. It's, you know, this is okay to do. You know, whatever, they're jumping on the couch, right? Mm-hmm. We just say, we jump on the floor, right? It's setting a limit. It's kind. It's firm. They do it again. You say, let me help you. Here's where we can jump. We can jump on the floor. We can jump on the trampoline. Mm-hmm. We can jump outside, wherever you want on the lawn, right? But you don't have to be so autocratic and authoritative and nasty in your delivery. So positive discipline is all about maintaining a respectful relationship. Mm-hmm. The other piece of it is it's all about connection.
Yeah, that's great.
And when our, we'll say, terrific twos are challenging us and pushing every button known and saying no and stomping their feet and refusing to pick up their toys and whatever else it is they're doing, We need to remain connected, okay? And there's this wonderful phrase called connection before correction.
That's nice. Yeah. Connection before correction.
Connection before correction. They're doing something, you know, they're toddlers, right? They're dropping their sippy cup off of the high chair, mm-hmm. right? Doing it. You're telling them. That's fun for them. Of course they're doing that. They're learning about cause and effect. That's the age that they learn about cause and effect. So them dropping something and watching it fall and or seeing it splash, that's exciting stuff, right? It's driving us up the wall. It's making a mess. But we can be connected with them through some empathy. I know, Becca, you're having so much fun throwing your cup onto the floor. It makes a loud sound.
It does. I want to do it again.
Cups stay on the table. Cups stay on the table.
That's good. Okay.
And they do it again because they're toddlers and they're going to test you, yep. right? And you say, cups stay on the table. Where do cups stay?
On the table.
Exactly. And you say, Becca, if you throw it on the floor again, you're done with the cup.
Mm. So that's the limit right
there. That's the limit. Mm-hmm. And they do it again. And then you have to take action. Right. Now, you want to be kind and respectful. You don't have, that's it. Mm. I'm taking it away. You're on timeout. You don't have to do that. You just, even no words is better. Because they know. They're so smart. If I simply pick up the cup and take it away, I guarantee you, a two-year-old knows exactly why I just took it away.
But the trio will go berserk.
And they probably will.
So what do you do?
They probably will. And you say, I know. You had fun playing with that cup. I know.
And she
cups
continues.
Cups stay on the table.
And she continues going berserk.
And she continues crying and continues crying. I know. It's really hard. I know.
So when would you then return the cup back to?
Let's say he or she's like, mama, thirsty.
Okay.
Right? And then I'm fine giving your child a chance. They're learning, mm-hmm. right? So I'm going to say, you're thirsty? Yeah. Okay. You know what? I'm going to give you the cup. Where does the cup need to stay, Becca?
On the table.
That's right. And if you throw on the floor, what's mommy going to do?
Take it away.
That's right. Okay. Here you go, sweetie.
And if she does it again, then you just repeat
then,
there.
Yep. Okay. You quiet. Take it. Done. And then she wants it again. And you're probably going to say, you can have it later. Mm-hmm. You can have it later. We'll try again later. I'm always saying, we'll try again later. It's okay that they make mistakes. That is how they learn. Mm-hmm. That is how they learn. Okay? Every mistake they make is an opportunity for us as parents to teach them.
Right.
That's another thing for parents to keep in mind. They're going to make a lot of mistakes, but it's an opportunity for us to teach them.
So, Kim, in Singapore, it's common for a lot of families to have other caregivers, so we could get our parents to look after our children, mm-hmm. Helpers, other caregivers. Yeah. What do you suggest how we can manage the feelings and impatience of and the short temper of these caregivers or our parents, so that we're all consistent in the caregiving, consistent in the parenting, just because we have more than just us parents that are doing the looking right. after. So that the child doesn't get mixed messages. What's your view on that?
In the perfect world, everybody's parenting the same in the household. That's in the perfect world. Mm. That doesn't happen too often. So we go to plan B.
What's plan B? Static notes.
Well, plan B is one, the best you can do is model. Okay? That is your best line of defense with your spouse, with your helpers, with your parents and in-laws. Model, model, model. Okay? They'll see you doing it differently, maybe mm-hmm. than them. But chances are, if you're using positive discipline, they'll also see it being effective. And that's what we ran into in our home, mm-hmm. is with our parents. They parented us very differently. And they came into our home, and they were seeing that we were doing it with our kids. Mm-hmm. And at first, I remember they were like, oh, you give them too many choices. you just need to take it away, or you just need to say this, say that. And that's fine. That's their opinion, right? But we were the parents and we held true to what we believed. And but soon, what was amazingly fascinating is they saw the change. They saw the children responding to us and they started doing it.
So they mimic you as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Nice. Modeling. Yes.
Which is amazing. And and it even went so far as for my mother to say, oh my God, I wish I would have done it that way with you.
That was exactly what my mom said to me. I mean, what it actually opened up a really good space for conversation.
Yeah, dialoguing.
Because it was done very differently from their times. And so they would be curious as well, like, why did you choose to do this? Why didn't you take up the cane? Why didn't you scold them? Mm-hmm. So the next thing was to actually have a very good conversation between adults, like my mom, to talk about the differences in parenting. Yes. And to also understand why they did it in the first place. Sometimes they were taught that way, or they were, you know, times were different. They didn't know about this. They didn't know that there was an alternative way to parent, right? And so they just did what they had to do at the time. And that was a really good conversation for me as well, because then it made me examine why, like, what some of my triggers were. And that was helpful.
Yeah, I think with our elderly, with our parents, it's we're in a great position that we can say, you didn't have the accessibility that we have now.
Yeah.
There weren't parenting books. There weren't parenting classes. There wasn't the internet where you could search it up. They just didn't have the resources that we have. We now, well, your generation.
You.
I was going to say.
We have you. Yes.
I mean, there are a lot more resources out there. Look at podcasts. We can reach thousands of people through a podcast. And so it's nice to give our parents a way out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To kind of save face, because they did the best job they could.
Yeah, sure, you're absolutely right about that. I think our parents did whatever they could within their means at that point in time, at that period.
That's right.
Yes.
Now, as far as your caretakers, you mentioned what do we do, you know, with our help?
Yeah.
Because... yeah, it's very cultural to have lots of help and caretakers in the home. Their job is to take care of things, right? Mm-hmm. And you want them that. It's by design. Mm-hmm. It's a great model if you can do it. And you'll also want them to be a part of raising your children. Their job isn't necessarily to dote on your children and do everything for your children and be bossed around by the children, right? There's a lot of learning opportunities, but what I find, this is my 9th time in Singapore teaching parenting, and I think it comes from the parents. The parents need to set the tone with the help. They need to empower the help. They need to say, listen, this is your job and your duty, and we know that you value this and you take it very seriously. Mm-hmm. You're also a part of our family, and you're part an important part of helping us raise responsible, respectful, resilient children. So we want to give you some power in that. So feel free, if they are demanding to you and ask, you know, telling you to get them more milk, we want you to have that power to say, and how do you need to ask respectfully? How would you like to ask? But they're not going to do it on their own typically. You as the parents need to empower them. Yeah. And you need to set the tone with your children.
That's right.
They are here to help our family, and we're grateful for it.
Yep.
And they are to be treated with respect.
That's right.
You've got to keep that. I believe you need to keep that very clear.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So I think there's one more question that we want to follow up on that is how parenting with positive discipline equivalent to sparing the rod and spoiling the child. I mean, it's very common in Asia here that, you know, the first resort we go to is to, you know, take out the cane.
Right.
I believe most of us here have been caned.
Yeah. Well, I'm from America and I was spanked. I mean, I had the spank and I had a ping pong paddle.
What's a ping pong paddle?
Table tennis.
Oh, my.
Oh.
So we didn't have a cane. We got the ping pong paddle.
Wow.
Yeah, on the rear. I was not a perfect child, and I did experience that. Right. So I wasn't comfortable.
I'm sure.
Yeah. It's interesting, that phrase, the phrase itself, coming from the Bible, they're referring to a shepherd with his, I don't even know what it's called.
Staff.
Staff, yes, yes, thank you. That's using the staff to guide the sheep, mm-hmm. right? So if you look at it like that, I like that. The shepherd is using it to guide the sheep. We are using tools in our parenting toolbox to guide and support our children. There are some interpretations of the rod, spare the rod, spoil the child, that literally mean, and people believe, that if you don't punish your child, they're never going to learn the lesson.
Yeah.
So you need to punish the child.
Yeah.
And in using the cane is one form of punishing the child so that they learn the lesson. I am not personally a fan. Positive discipline doesn't endorse any physical mm-hmm. anything. But I understand that it's a tool. It's a tool, but is it an effective tool? Okay, this is where I ask my clients. We all come into this parenting game with our parenting toolbox, and we have lots of different tools in there, and we find that some work really well and some don't work as well. The tools that I teach in positive discipline are made to be effective long term. Okay, so if they, if your child does something wrong and we give them a SWAT, are they, if they hit their brother, I don't know, and so we punish them and say, it's not okay to hit, you know, you need to take this punishment, and we give them a SWAT, 5 minutes later, are they going to hit their brother again? Probably not, because they're probably scared of getting hit themselves. So short term, did it work?
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Is it effective long term, though? Did they learn anything long term there? Okay, so we really need to think about that. What's effective long term, and what keeps our connection? What mm-hmm. keeps our relationship? Okay, I'm pretty sure that isn't
going to
sustain a very positive, respectful relationship. So that's kind of, it's a tool, but I don't think it's a great tool.
Right.
Sometimes when parents aren't equipped with any other tools or knowledge, they revert to what they know.
That's true.
And that's when we get desperate. When parents get desperate and don't know what to do, they quickly do what they were brought up. That's what they just grab the first thing that comes to their mind.
So just to write on that example you gave, so, you know, like, you know, your child hits the younger brother, and as a parent, instead of taking out the cane, what would be an alternative better way to approach it instead of, you mm-hmm. know, hitting, or I mean, instead of spanking him?
Yeah. I am pretty firm believer that I don't want my kid. I don't want to hit my kids. I don't want them to hit me. I don't want them to hit each other either.
Mm-hmm.
So I laid a pretty firm hand at the very beginning when they started doing that, which was young, right? Twins,
mm-hmm.
you know, at 18 months, they're grabbing each other's toys and, yeah. you know, whacking. But I immediately, I mean, if you put your hand up to like hit me,
yeah.
I would very, very quickly. Hands are not for hitting.
Right.
Hands are not for hitting.
So, I mean, just for our listeners out there,
yes.
you know, so basically what I did was I just raised my hand to pretend that I'm going to hit you, my younger brother. And then what Kim did was basically just to firmly kind of hold my hand and just push my hand down to the side mm-hmm. and then say,
hands are not for hurting. We do not hurt on the inside or the outside. And that was a theme that I used a lot. We do not hurt on the inside, meaning we don't call names, we don't put down, we don't say mean things to each other, and we don't hurt on the outside, the physical part.
Yeah.
Okay. And that covers a lot of territory, that statement.
Would a two-year-old be able to understand that, you reckon?
So a two-year-old, yes. I do think, but you have to keep doing it. It's not going to be a one-time thing. You keep doing it, and lots of practice. Yes. And when you see them starting to get agitated and maybe raise the hand, remember, hands are not for hurting or hitting, whatever you want to say. You look really angry, Becca. Do you want to tell so-and-so? that you're really angry that they took your toy. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you facilitate a dialogue between
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So no caning.
Oh my gosh. But you know, I also don't want to place huge judgment because culturally it's a part of this yeah. it's a part of the culture. It's been around for a long time.
Yeah. Actually, Joyce, were you caned?
Right? I was caned, yeah.
As young as 2? Mm. Our producer is also showing their action. Wait, were you?
Yeah, I was caned.
And what about you? You were?
With the paddle.
Yeah.
With the paddle.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Interesting you asked that question. I wasn't caned. I think my mom had it in her hand.
Mm, as a threat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But she never sort of caned me. Mm-hmm. But I remember very clearly, I got slapped. Yes, I remember
there.
On my face. Oh, no. Because I was talking back. Mm-hmm. And I think my mom just couldn't take it. And she said, I was stunned.
Mm-hmm. She was probably stunned too.
I think so.
She probably was equally as stunned.
Yeah, because my mom doesn't resort to, you know, this mm-hmm. hitting it and all. But I think I probably drove her up the wall for that one because she gave me a slap in my face.
Well, she probably felt desperate and didn't know what to do and didn't control her own impulses and did it.
Yeah.
Right? That's yes. what I'm saying. We cannot expect our 2-year-olds to have those self-regulation when we can't sometimes.
Yeah, that is such a good point.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. So it takes a few years between 2 and 5 years of age.
Yeah.
Expect some difficult moments because yeah. they're just learning how to control themselves and regulate their emotions.
But you know, the fact that I'm a fully grown adult, I'm a mom, I can remember that my mom slapped me on my face.
Yeah, of course.
What do you think would impact, like, children, you know, if they were being hit and spanked? I mean, it's...
Oh, gosh.
Like, I would tell myself I won't do that to my child, you know. But...
I mean, I think it's a very personal question. Mm-hmm. I think it depends on circumstances. I think it depends on what else is going on in the home. You know, is that a one-off time? You had this great relationship and great connection, but it happened once. Yeah, you probably remember because it did make an impact.
I made sure it only happened once. Yeah. I was like, no, I'm not going to get my other cheek slapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if that is the go-to mm-hmm. thing the parent does all the time, right, then it starts to chip away. It starts to chip away at one's self-esteem, mm-hmm. self-confidence, the relationship, the trust. So, yeah, we do have to moderate
yeah.
what we do.
So Joyce and I, we've both listened to some of your, you know, your parenting with positive discipline sharings. And I'm just very curious, Joyce, since listening to Kim, have you exercised or practiced any of the positive discipline methods?
Yes, do tell us,
yes.
Joyce.
I think Kim is interested to know as well. On your own children at home.
Yeah, I mean, I really like positive discipline. I've been doing it for a while now, since my firstborn turned 3. But one thing that you shared previously that really hit home was deep breathing, deep breaths. So I try to do deep breathing with her whenever she gets upset, right? But I think it was very difficult for her to understand that fully when she was in that meltdown tantrum mm-hmm. moment. But I think you were sharing that there were certain things you could say, like smell the flowers, mm. blow the candle, yeah. and putting those words, describing actions that she is very familiar with, because, you know, children love yeah. birthday cakes and blowing candles yes, and smelling yes. flowers. She could immediately do it yeah. and we could do it together. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was really nice, because I remember one incident, we did that together. I said, smell the flowers, blow out the candles. So we started doing that together as a mother and child thing. And after a while, it turned into something funny. Like, we could inject humor into it. I could say, oh, can you blow out 5 candles for me? Mm-hmm. And she did that. Yes. So, you know, it turned a rather negative interaction mm-hmm. into a more positive one. And that, I think that helped to bridge the gap, or rather, you know, lighten the situation mm-hmm. a little bit better. And then we could reconnect after that and we say, hey, now that we're calm now, do you want to tell me what happened earlier? Yeah, so perfect. That was really helpful for me.
Yeah, yeah, the smell the flowers, blow out the candles works.
Yeah,
really
pretty much like most of the time. Yeah. And easy enough for the 2-year-old even to understand.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. I also practiced it at home.
Ooh, tell us.
My boy is 6 years old, so he has a wider range of vocabulary, of course, but he still goes into sometimes his meltdowns and tantrums. So I shared this with some of my colleagues recently as well. I'm happy to share it with you. So recently I was working from home and there was a meeting, a virtual meeting, and it involved an external person as well in the meeting. And what happened was that I had Damien, like I was working on the dining table and then Damien was next to me. And then I told him that mommy's got a meeting. I just need to be quiet. You can do your drawing. And he did that. So he understood. And I said, I can attend to you after the meeting. So he started drawing and then the meeting just started. Everything was okay. And then I was asked a question. I was about to answer. And then Damien started making all these noises and he was like upset. And then but I had to answer the question. So I was talking and Damien was making all this noise at the side. And I was like, no, this is not happening. So I just quickly answered what I need to. I just quickly said what I needed to say. And then I switched off the camera and the sound. I took my entire laptop and I walked into the study room and I closed the door so that I can continue the meeting. But Damien went
pounding,
yes,
pounding,
and he was
pounding.
Screaming and he was yelling. He went berserk because I left him there to continue the meeting. So I still couldn't continue my meeting because he can be hurt. So what I did, I informed my team members and said that, hey, you know, please cover me for now because I have a meltdown at home. And I'll be back as soon as I can. So I just left the meeting. I mean, I switched off everything.
Yeah.
And then I opened the door and Damien was like, oh, you know, yelling and yelling. And I remember one thing that you said, that, you know, we have like a pause button. Yeah. So I didn't like pause the button on my forehead, but I just looked at him. I actually knelt down first and I just looked at him. I didn't say anything. I was very, very angry. I was fuming mad, but I kept quiet. I didn't say anything. And we just had like this staring competition for like 30 seconds. And then I asked him, I said, why are you screaming? And he told me that he can't draw a flag on his pirate ship. So he just didn't know how to draw it. And then he needed help. But I couldn't help him at that point in time because I was in a meeting. And then so he started yelling and screaming. But it didn't help that I left him. I stepped out of the space. And so he went even more mad, you know. So at that point in time, I thought, oh dear, you know, I need to get back to the meeting. So then I thought about you. So I
you were channeling him.
Yeah. So I, number one, I acknowledge his feelings. I said, okay, I know you can't draw, you're upset. You can't draw the flag. And I want to help you, but I can't help you right now because I'm in a meeting. So I was firm. I was really trying to hold back that anger. So I was firm.
You did good.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. So I was firm. And then I said, I'm going to give you two options. The first one is if you need to process or you still need to shout or yell and get all that anger out, you can. But please go to the balcony. And I'm going to close the balcony door so that I can't hear him. And I might even close the curtain so that I won't see him.
Exactly.
So that's number one option. The second one is that I can come back out here and be with you. And I can continue my meeting here. But you are not to make any sound. So that I can get through the meeting. And after that, we can look at your drawing. So which one do you think he chose?
To sit with you quietly.
Yes. And not at the balcony.
Yep.
So I did that. I was like, yes.
You did very good. I mean, first of all, you accessed your pause button, your stop button.
Yes.
You're like, okay, I'm going to freak out. Let me just take a minute, calm down, get some intention here, you know.
But
and
it's
then
not easy.
It's not easy.
It's really, really
it's
not easy.
It's not.
Oh, my God.
But you did it.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, he chose the one. And he didn't make a squeak.
If you would have continued your path, where you would just kept, he would have gotten louder and louder. You would have gone to a different room. He would have followed you. He would have banged on the door.
Yeah.
It takes far more time to deal with that. And you would have been so flustered. He would have been upset. It would have been a disaster. Instead, you paused and had a moment of clarity. And you did the, basically you did the steps for setting limits.
Yeah.
You gave him empathy. I mean, that is key. We've got to give our kids empathy. Two-year-olds, terrific two-year-olds. I know you're sad. I know you're frustrated. I know you want the cookie. Whatever it is, empathize with them. Make them feel heard and understood. And then you set your limit. I can't do it now. I'm in a meeting.
Yep.
Very clear. And then you gave them a choice.
Yes.
You feel free. Feel free and get it all out. But you're going to need to do outside where my meeting won't be disturbed. Or feel free and sit quietly next to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I must say that I was also very surprised that it worked, you know. But I also know that as parents, it doesn't always succeed. Like sometimes you just fall back.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? Like you just lose it all. You get so impatient. You're flustered because there are people waiting for you at the meeting, you know, and it's just so easy to just like lose it, you know. So it's a conscious effort.
It is. It's so easy to just want to give in to, like, you know, being impulsive.
Yeah, or even like just turn on TV and just sit down there. Yes. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, and you know, really during COVID, a lot of clients reached out that were really struggling. Now they're trying to work at home. They're trying to educate their kids at home. I mean, it was a really difficult situation for many, many people. And honestly, during that time, I was like, put him in front. If that's what you need to do to get through this important meeting, it's not going to kill him.
Yeah.
You'll get back on track. But today, you can do that, you know.
Yeah. I was close to doing that, actually. Yeah. I mean, I really thought that if I can't figure what to do, that would have been my last resort, actually. Yeah.
Well, it's good. See, you have lots of tools in your toolbox.
Oh, I know.
Practice makes perfect.
So to parents out there, you know, I guess, you know, it's just giving it a go and just to also know that sometimes it works, sometimes it may not work.
That's
but,
right.
You know, I think just trying to embrace and practice that is definitely something, you know, that they should be very proud of,
yes.
You know, of themselves. Yeah.
So Kim, I mean, what is the one advice you would tell parents if they might still be reluctant to give positive discipline a try?
I understand someone's reluctance. You know, you're thinking, oh my God, another thing for me to do, another thing for me to read, another thing for me to learn. I understand that. And then you don't know if it's going to work, right? So people are trepidatious at times to try it. What I would do is, listening to something like this, right? You just take a listen for 30 minutes, grab one thing that resonated with you and just try that. Just try it for 2 weeks. That's all I ask of people. Mm-hmm. Just give one tool a chance for a couple weeks and see if you find any success, if your life has become any more peaceful. But I understand. I mean, it's hard to think about taking yet another thing on as parents. We're so busy. Usually we're overscheduled. We're multitasking, work, kids, family, the whole thing. I'd say take it one day at a time. And what I do say to a lot of people is we are only seeking improvement, not perfection.
That's right.
We are only seeking improvement, not perfection. It's never going to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think one thing that you shared earlier about how important connection is connection over correction, and how positive discipline is for the long run, right?
Mm.
I think that's the thing, right? Because I think for parents now, a lot of it is like, I want it immediately. I want to see results right away. I want the action to stop right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think resorting to, you know, traditional parenting styles could be a very easy fallback, whereas positive discipline takes a lot more practice, takes a lot more time.
It takes more commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah.
You really need to be committed to it. But then once you, oh my gosh, like I felt like after a couple years,
like things were really running really well in our family.
Do your kids practice positive discipline on each other as well? Like, you know, when they have their arguments as they were growing up, do you see that you practice has kind of had an effect on them and they are like kind of practicing it on each other?
Of course.
Do you have an example?
The best part was when they would have conflict with each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to, at the beginning, get there with them, get in between them, help them dialogue. I was the facilitator. Just go back and forth. And you say how you feel and you say how you feel. And what do you need? And what do you need? And, you know, it was long-winded process at times. But after a couple of years, they completely got it. So it was just brought me such great joy.
I can imagine. Beaming, yes.
I would hear that. I'll never forget this one time I was in the kitchen and they were in the other room and they were I said that they could watch a video. And this is when they had actual videos, not Netflix. Mm-hmm. And they were young and they were trying to decide which one. And they just did it to a T, exactly what I would have done without me there. They were like, you know, Cole, I really want this one because I haven't watched it in a long time and it's really, really funny. Riley, I really want this one because the other one. Well, how are we going to solve this problem we have? Because I always, how are we going to solve this problem? Well, I have an idea. How about this? Well, I see that works for you, but I have an idea. How about this? And they just had this amazing conversation. Ended up figuring it out. I know what they ended up to do. They ended up just to agree, and I forget who got it, but today we will watch this one, and the next time Mommy says we can watch a video, we will watch that one.
Practice that with your kids.
Yes, I'm going to make them practice. Yes.
Oh, brilliant. Well, it's been a wonderful session, Kim. Thank you for sharing your insights and tips. I think, you know, the two of us as moms, we must agree. Yeah, exactly. So to close off this podcast, we're going to have a short, quick, fun segment. Oh, it's called the Rapid Fire Question.
Oh, I've heard
segment.
This on other
podcasts. Yes. Oh my gosh.
And we should say to the audience, I have no idea what they're going to ask me, so.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so the idea is, you know, I'm prepared and just candid. Okay. You know, if you've got 5 seconds.
Okay.
We've got 5 questions.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, I'll ask yourself and Joyce as well. And don't think about it. Just shoot out the answers. Okay, so.
The first question.
Yeah, maybe the first question I'll answer. Yeah, I think Joyce will ask me and I'll just give it a go with the first one.
So, Becky, what's the best part about parenting?
The best part about parenting is learning about myself, I think. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have known so much about myself, the limits that you can, you know, you can stretch yourself with, you know, if not for parenting. I think it's a whole new game altogether. Mm. Is that in the 5 seconds? I think so.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to ask Joyce now this one. What's the worst part about parenting?
5 seconds, right?
Yes.
I'll copy Becky's answer.
Learn more about myself.
Right. It's I've never confronted myself in such an honest and a very real way. I always thought that I was a very happy-go-lucky person until I have kids.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I totally agree with you. Right? Yes. You're like, oh, we're all so happy. And parenting will be a breeze. We'll be such wonderful mothers. But you're like, no, it's so difficult.
I had the gift of having the twins. And so if I had only had Riley, my spirited one, I would have thought, oh my God, I'm a terrible parent. Mm. And if I had only had Cole, I would have thought, I'm a magnificent parent, right? Parenting the same exact way, but two different kids, different temperaments. Kids. Yeah. So I got a dose of reality, which it's nurture and nature, right?
Nurture, yes. So now, Kim.
Okay.
Personal favorite parenting trick or tip?
Oh, the trip, the pause for me, taking the pause.
The pause button.
Yep, the pause button. If I hadn't learned the pause button early on, everything else would have failed. Mm-hmm. I had to learn it first. Pause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I had a good start, right? I tried.
That was great.
Okay, so Joyce, now 3 words to describe your parenting journey.
It's very humbling, and yet it's really happy. Mm-hmm. And it's a continuous learning journey.
Right.
Oh, that's not three words.
It's okay.
And last question for Kim. One line, just one line of advice for parents out there who are facing difficulties with following through positive discipline.
I think I already said it. It's the seeking improvement, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, can I have another answer
of
as well?
Of course.
Okay, I'm going to add to it. I said to you earlier, everyone makes mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the advice for the person that's feeling defeated or deflated is you get to wake up tomorrow morning and try again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always
tomorrow's
a
new, fresh day. Do it better. Do it differently. Yeah.
Oh, that one's good. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, I had to tell myself that every day.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, all good things come to an end, although I wish we could go on forever. Thank you once again, Kim and Joyce, for sharing your experiences and thoughts today. And to our listeners out there, we hope you had some good takeaways and insights. If you are interested to find out more on Empowered Parenting by Kim DiMacchi, do visit her website, empoweredparenting.com, and follow her on her IG, which is Empowered Parenting with Kim. If you have enjoyed this episode, we have more content on motherhood with our Hagen moms.
So do follow us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts to be notified when our next episode drops. You can also stay updated with us on our Instagram and Facebook at Hagen and TikTok at Hagen.official. Find out more in our show notes for this podcast.
Thank you again, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you,
ladies.
You so much.
Thank you for having me.